James Martin Luther, the great Reformed theologian, once said of the book of James, it's a right strawy epistle. The reason that he said that was that James seems to contradict the issue of justified by faith. James talks a lot about works. But let me reassure the congregation this morning that salvation in James is the same as it is in Paul. What James is saying is that we work because of our salvation, not for our salvation. It's a big difference. And so as we look at the book of James, and he's gone through speaking and or taming the tongue, and he's talked about in chapter 4, particularly previous to this, warning about worldliness and the problems that are associated with that, then he comes to this text. And this is a very interesting text. And let's look at what he says. First of all, make your plans. There's no doubt that James probably heard people in and around where he was associated with the church there, probably heard them, and probably businessmen, Christian businessmen, making these plans. And James has something to say about it because he heard them talking about it. Some scholars view verse 13 negatively. Some scholars don't. I'm in the position that I view this as positive, that James is trying to teach them something, and I believe that this was written to Christians, so obviously this is Christian businessmen. Now look at what he says. Come now. Come now is a way of trying to get attention. And so he's wanting them to listen very closely to what he is about to say. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Let's look at these planners. First of all, they had a time frame. You're either going to go today or tomorrow, but the plan was to go. Secondly, the location, this or that city. So they had a target. They first started, okay, we need to start prepping for this, and probably James heard them talking about all their various plans, and so he responds very methodically here. The length they're going to spend a year. They figure the best way to do a business in particular, they might have talked about going to Ephesus, which was a major trade center, or Thessalonica. All of these areas would have been probably discussed, but they said they're going to spend at least a year. So they had a time frame involved, the length of stay. Their goal was to trade and make business in the town and in that city, wherever they were going to go. And then they were going to make a profit. You know, there's actually nothing wrong with making plans. There's nothing wrong at all with making plans. There's nothing wrong at all with any of this stuff. Because I think as a church that fails to plan is a church that has a problem. I do think we're to make plans. When we look at the Apostle Paul's life, he says many times in scriptures, I plan to come to you, and I plan to do this, and I plan to do that. Sometimes, Paul wrote once, I know for sure, that said, I plan to do this, but Satan prevented us. So you talk about plans. I don't think it's unbiblical to make plans. I don't think that this is particularly wrong to make a profit. I don't think it's particularly wrong to spend a year somewhere. But James is driving here masterfully, I think. He's driving to a central point. So now, as practical application for us, let's look at some guidance from Proverbs 16:3 and Proverbs 21:5. First of all, I want to establish something clearly. This is a small group, small business strategic planning. Again, you know, on the strategic plan side, they got values, visions, direction, goals, tactics, and performance. I don't think any of that is wrong. Again, I honestly think that we should have a vision, that you should make plans in your life, that you should seek to better yourself, whether it's through education, whether it's through whatever means. That I think that strategic planning is good. And over here, Implementation of plan, the timing, the milestones. Good to have milestones or markers. How do we know that once we're, if the goal is this, what are the steps, the incremental steps that we need to achieve to reach that goal? That's milestones. Simply, and if you go back and you look at Scripture, particularly back in the Old Testament, the Jethro principle, they broke people down into groups of 10, and it was very organized, and there's dependency resources. What resources will we need to get there? How are we going to get there? If the goal was to grow a church of 500, okay, what are the steps that are going to be need to take in order to get to that goal? If we want to help people become more like Christ and less like the world, what are the steps involved in getting to that point? Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there is nothing wrong with planning. There is absolutely nothing wrong with planning. So when James was listening to this conversation, he obviously picked up on something that they were leaving out of their plans. And I think it's something that we need to grab hold on to. Well, let's look at what Proverbs 16:3 says. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. In other words, you make your plans and then you commit your work of those plans to the Lord. And I think that's one of the key steps that these people that James were writing to were leaving out. So when you plan, whatever you plan, whether it be as a church, whether as a deacon board, as a pastor, as church, in personal life, you make your plan. You strategically make your plan under the direction of the Holy Spirit, and then you commit to the Lord. That's the key. That's one of the big keys. Another one. This is from Proverbs 21:5. Plan carefully, and you will have plenty. God does not want us to sit back, I do not believe. I don't think God wants us to sit back and just say, okay, I have no plan for my life. In fact, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. And the issue here is trying to match God's plan with our plan. God has purposed things in your heart that you know you need to do. And this is the real danger, is that we become lazy and not plan to achieve what God has for our life. So if maybe there's something in your life today that God has put in your heart, and let me just say this, if God put it in your heart, then you should know, first of all, that that comes from God and confirm that via Scripture, via the Holy Spirit, through prayer. Once you confirm that, God does not want you to become lazy in implementing the plan. And I'll tell you this, God will help you plan it if you ask Him. But too many times, what happens is we say, I want to do this. And I step out on my own. And I don't even run it through God. And I say, okay, I'm going to do this. And brothers and sisters, when that happens, then there is a major flaw in your plan. The major flaw is that God is left out of the equation. Bingo. And here's the problem. That they did not simply include God in their plans. Now make your plans with God's will in mind, with God's will in mind. Ah, now we see the issue. Now notice what James says. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Actually, Proverbs, he borrowed that probably from Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring. Do you know how fast life can change? Life can change on a dime. I mean, situations in life, life is just ever changing. Situations and circumstances come up in your life, and you don't know what tomorrow will bring. None of us do. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. You may go to work and you may lose your job. You have no idea. I hope you don't. But that's a possibility. Anything is a possibility because life is so fragile. Life can be changed in a moment. Somebody driving down the road and accidentally look at their phone and are texting and they veer in and it could end immediately. Or you could maim somebody for life. Life is very fragile and we do not know what tomorrow brings. And that's something that I think James borrowed clearly from Proverbs 27:1. I'm also amazed, too, at how many Christians use the horoscopes. Yeah. You know, I've actually heard Christians talk about using horoscopes to predict their life. Capricorn, you are headed into a time of beginnings. Look, brothers and sisters, this is not from God. This is not how we make a plan. This is not of God. This is something that the devil has put in. And I know some Christians that buy into this. So they go, well, I just read it for the fun value. Don't read it at all. You shouldn't be reading this. This is not who has your future. God has your future. Matter of fact, Jeremiah 29 says this, I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah says, plans for good and not evil. God is the one who holds your life. God is the one who holds my life. He's the one that we should be focused on. He is the one that we should be asking for direction, not some soothsayer or some newspaper that has all the different signs in it. You don't need that stuff. Your steps are ordered by God, and therefore our focus should be God. It should not be on anything else. This is how you make your plans. You must include or at least focus. God, what would you have me do with my life? What do you want from me? What direction will you give me? I want to do your will. That's a far cry. That is a far cry from this. And that is a far cry from saying, today or tomorrow, we're just going to go and we're going to do and we're going to be. And this is our plan. And by the way, God, we invite you along. Come on. No, that's not how it works, brothers and sisters. Notice what James says, too. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears in a little time and then vanishes. Yeah, we're here, and then all of a sudden, have you noticed? I mean, I think back and I go, boy, this is, I look at my own life and I go, man, that's quick. And some of the stuff that I've gone through in my life, it seemed like an eternity going through it. But then I look back and I go, bam, that was quick. Brothers and sisters, life is short compared to eternity. Life is short. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You're a vapor. I loved it. One summer I took when I was in Bible college, I took a course on Ecclesiastes, and Mr. Hannison was the professor that led that course. And the one thing that kept coming up over and over and over again is life is meaningless apart from God. Life is meaningless apart from Christ. Life is also short. And the best in Ecclesiastes, the end of it, the end of the matter is this: to love God and obey his commands and to fear him and to walk with him. So you have to plan life according to the will of God. Also, he mentions not only the brevity of life, but God's sovereignty. that God is sovereign. Instead, James writes, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live to do this or that. So James is now correcting. That's obviously a reference that these businessmen were Christians. And now he's obviously correcting them. He says, instead you ought to say, Christian, if the Lord wills, we will live to do this or that. And the word there can mean two things, that word wills. It can mean two things. It means if the Lord is willing, or if the Lord wants. It's two different directions. I think you come out with about the same thing. Many years ago, well, in 1997, Audrey and I were visiting a Romanian church. And I had talked with the pastor, and it was a wonderful church. There was a couple of hundred people there, and they translated the sermon. They translated it into English, and it was just a wonderful time. And they actually had a Russian general who came and spoke that evening. And the Russian general was talking about how his helicopter was shot and it was spinning to the ground, and he trusted in Christ and he lived. And the Russian general was explaining all of this, and he was dressed in his Russian uniform, and I was with a Romanian congregation. It was just awesome. And I talked with the pastor afterwards, and it was briefly mentioned. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, you can go to Romania and preach revivals. And he said, we want to do that. And so we started talking about going to Romania. And by the way, this is a Romanian church here. We started talking about it. And the more we talked about it, and I talked to him on the phone, and I got really excited about it. And he was starting to make plans, because he was going to go with me, and we were going to do, I think it was a 5-day revival in 15 or 20 churches over there. And he was going to take me around from church to church, and he was going to translate for me, and we were going to do all this. And then one day in my office, my secretary says, Pastor Mike, you got a phone call. And I picked up the phone, and it was the Russian, it was the Romanian pastor. Now here I am, I'm all pumped, I'm excited, I'm ready to go to Romania, I'm ready to preach these revivals, and the pastor on the phone says this, we cannot go to Romania. And I said, why not? Why not? And he said that they had had an uprising, and it was a bad time to go. And brothers and sisters, you know when you get excited about something and then all of a sudden it's gone? It's like a belly drop. Let me just say this. You can make your plans, and I can make my plans. And we can ask God's will, and we can seek God's will on it. But here's something we have to accept as part of the deal. We have to accept the fact that sometimes God says no. And I tell you something. Though I was disappointed, and though I really wanted to go and really felt like God was leading over there, he put the stop sign up. And after a few days, I wrestled with it. And you know what? I wonder what God saved me from. There had to be something where God is allowing this event, and then he goes, no, you know what? I don't want you to go. But I know some Christians who would go, I'm going anyway. And that's where we get into trouble, is when we decide that we're going to take it on ourselves because we really, really, really want this. This is our life. Our life should be committed to God. And if our life is committed to God, would you agree with me that God has ownership of our lives? And therefore, if God has ownership of our lives, then I need to be okay when God says no. And I can rejoice when God says yes. And I can be patient when God says wait. And I tell you what, we like the yes part, don't we? We don't really like the wait part. And we definitely don't like the no part. Am I right? Yeah, I knew. Because I've experienced all three. But we have to be okay in each phase. We have to, then we just simply, when we're not getting a direction from God, we just sit there and we wait. God is sovereign. The God that created the universe is sovereign over the world, and he is sovereign over your life and mine. And as a result of that, we trust him, right? We trust him no matter what the answer is that he gives us. Make your plans, but always, always, always include the will of God. And James finally says, do what is right. Do what is right. As it is, James says in verse 16, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. That's not a good thing for James to write. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, the word boast here expresses a high degree of confidence. Can you see these Christian businessmen sitting around saying, oh, yeah, today or tomorrow, we're going to go over here to Ephesus, and boy, we're going to stay a year, and we're going to rake it in, and we're going to have a good time, and God's, you know, they might not even have brought God's name into the equation, because obviously James didn't think they did. But they had all of this planned out, and they left God out of their plans. And so they were most likely speaking very confidently that this was going to happen. Yes, I'm going to go, and we're going to be successful. And the problem is that arrogance is the absence of the presence of God. You know that. Arrogance is the absence of the presence of God. And arrogance is, in the word literally means pride. So they were expressing confidence in their own pride, in their own abilities, in their own cunning, in their own direction, in their own planning. Doesn't sound like they put God in the equation. Brothers and sisters, if you make your plans, make sure that you take those plans to God and say, God, these are my plans. Please direct me and give me guidance and give me direction. Do not become arrogant. Do not say, I am going to do this. No matter what God says, no matter what this is, I'm going to do this. In spite of all of that, I'm just going to do it. Don't do that. That is a prescription for disaster. Seriously. Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, said it this way: pride may be set down as the sin of human nature. He also goes on to say that behind every sin you will find a trace of pride. That's where we got to be careful. Don't presume to be arrogant in your plans. There's a big difference between somebody that says it this way, I'm going to do this and I'm making these plans, versus somebody that gets down before God and says, God, these are the plans, the direction I think that you've given me. Father, I submit these to you, and I ask that you give me direction and guidance. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one do you think God will respond to? This one? Or this one? Well, presuming to speak on behalf of God, I'm going to say that God's going to go on the side of the humble. And that God's going to go on the side of those who are seeking him. But I'm also going to say something here too, that if you do this, God may indeed allow it. But let me remind the church and myself something today. Be careful what you wish for. You may get it. always come over here on this side, brothers and sisters. Just humbly say, God, this is what I think you want me to do. Lift it up to him and ask him to give you direction and guidance. And guess what? It may not, listen to this side of the equation, and it may be something that you don't want to do. Now we've spun it in a whole different area. Because if God has put something in your heart and presented situations in your life and you're looking at it and you go, I like this plan a lot better, Lord. You have to be willing to do this too and say, okay, God, here's what I think you're telling me. And if God says yes, brothers and sisters, you go with that plan. Because I tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. I would rather do it God's way than my way, because I can tell you, when I've done it my way, it has ended in disaster. And I can tell you this, that God has always shown me through the disaster to make sure that I'm following him. Right? How many? You know, a lot of you know. You've been there too. Had to have it, wanted it, needed it, gonna get it, no matter what. You did it, and guess what? It blows up in your face. That's dangerous. By the way, whatever you do, let me just say this. Whatever you do in your life, do it for the glory of God. And when God gives you a direction and you know it's from God and it's clearly from God and you don't want to go, my counsel to you as your pastor, my counsel to you is, if you don't want to do something but you are confident that God is telling you to do it, then you go. Because I'll tell you this, God will bless you abundantly. And if it's something that you've devised and you're going to do this, be very careful. That's all I got to say. Be very careful. Because it can be very, very bad. And I've seen stuff blow up in people's face, and it's just... And the other thing is here, if you're not sure, just wait. Just wait. Don't do anything until God gives you a direction. And let him take your plans and change them if he wants to. Knowing and doing, this is where we're going with this, knowing and doing. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, uh-oh, for him it is a sin. Brothers and sisters, you've heard me say this for 9 years as your pastor. I bet you if I took a poll here in this church and asked you whether something was right or wrong, I'm pretty confident, not arrogant, I'm pretty confident that 95% of the time you're going to tell me this is the right thing to do. My point is this. We know the right thing to do. We know the right way to live. We know the right way to do the kingdom of God. The question is, and James puts it to us in form of a statement, is do it. If you know what the right thing to do is, just do it. If you go back and you look at your plans and you go, nah, you know what? I really kind of left God out of this. So I'm going to resubmit this to God, and I'm going to present it to him, and I'm going to let God tell me whether yes, no, maybe, or wait, or whatever. I'm going to trust in him. But knowing and doing are two different things. Do you see what James is saying here? Knowing and doing are two different things. You can know what to do, but not do it. And I'm going to encourage you as your pastor to do the right thing. And it's pretty simple. When it's clear in the Bible and it's a command and you know it's true, then you hold to that. You don't do this. You do what the scriptures teach. So let me say this in closing. Make your plans. I want to encourage you to make plans for your life. But I also want to encourage you as your pastor to, as you are making those plans, to ask, what does God have How, Lord, do I incorporate the will of God into my plans? And when you give it up to God like that, he goes, I don't want you to do this. I want you to do this. You go, okay, I'm willing to change. That's not what I would have for my life, but it's what you have for my life, so I'll go that way. And then live your life in such a way as to do the right thing. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you will do these three simple things, make your plans or the directions you think God's wanting you to go, submit it to God, get confirmation of it, and if you do the right things, I am going to tell you flat out, God is going to bless that. Now, does it mean it's going to be easy all the time, every time? No, it doesn't mean it will be easy. And you may struggle and you may go through hardships and you may go through trials, but I'll tell you what, God will bless you. And I want to remind all of us this morning as we're thinking about planning the new year, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not our life. It's his life live through us. And therefore, we can take our plans and our lives and put them in his hand and ask God to direct us and guide us. And that's the New Year's plan. That's the New Year's plan. I hope we do that. I hope we get to that point in our lives when we're willing to do that. Let me ask you a question this morning. First of all, I think this is the big question that you need to answer, the big one. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior? When you answer that question, you've answered the biggest question you could possibly ever answer. That's bigger than should I go here, should I do this, should I go there? That's bigger than anything. If you've answered that question, yes, I've trusted in Christ, then the second question, a follow-up question along this series would be, as you are living for him, are you including the will of God in your life? That's a good question to ask. Don't run ahead of God. Say, God, I want to invite you into this and I need some clarity and some direction. That's all I'm asking you to do. And that's all God is asking you to do. Because ultimately, God is the one who gets the glory for everything in our lives. And therefore, if he gets all the glory in our lives, then I need to be turning my plans over to him, not what I want, what he wants. And then follow him. Just follow him. And when you die and your life is short and it's a vapor and you're no longer here, as Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, we're like ants on a log. We leave no trace of being here. If that is the case, then when we die and go to be with him, the only thing I want to hear and what you should want to hear is when we see Jesus face to face is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's just my thoughts and what the Bible says and what God's laid on my heart for today.